כבוד האחרון. We've gathered this morning to pay a kavod acharon to a beloved member of his family and to a dear friend, to Reb Chaim Nosson Nota ben Naftali Tzvi, to Neil Blond. We all join with his wife Ellen, with his children Jeremy, Simone, and Aliza, his parents Harold and Ruth Blond, his in-laws, Milton and Rita Kramer, his siblings, Rhonda and Brian Rosen, Suzanne and Paul Hanau, Malka and Chanoch Fogel, in expressing our grief and our sorrow upon the tragic passing of Neil. There are many people who have assembled here this morning, representative of all the yeshivos, elementary, high school, yeshivos gedolos, of the five towns in Far Rockaway area. There are rabbanim from the shuls of our area and rabbanim from shuls from the surrounding areas, the greater metropolitan area of New York, and from as far south as Florida, who've traveled here to participate in paying respect to Reb Chaim Nosson Nota. I'm only going to include, by mentioning their names specifically, those people who have been asked by the family to participate in the service. We will hear Kapitlach Tehillim from Rabbi Yehuda Kellermer, Rabbi Ralph Pelkovitz, Rabbi Tzvi Flaum. The Maspidim will be his Rebbe and the person who's been most involved with the family from beginning to end, Yomam Valayla, Rabbi Yisrael Chait. We'll hear from his wife Ellen, from his cousin Rabbi Bald from Florida, from his sister Rhonda, from Rabbi Michael Bernstein, from his friend Jeff Klar. Perhaps one other member of the family will be speaking. I will say a few words at the end, and the Kelmole Rachamim will be said by Chazan Ehrlich of Congregation Beth Shalom. Now ask Rabbi Yehuda Kellermer.
David, Adonai mi yogur b'halecha, nishkom b'har kodshecha, halech to mi mefol al tzedek v'dover ames b'levavo, lo ragal al lishono, lo asol rehi ra'a, v'charpol an asol krovo, nivzeh v'inav nimas, v'sireid anu yichabed, nishpa lo harav lo yomir, kaspol an asam b'neshech, v'shochar al nakilo lo koch, hose eile lo yimot li olam.
Rav Pelkovitz,
Michtum Lodovid Shomrini Eokicha Sisi Boch, or Mark Ladanoi Adonoi Otto Toivosi Balalecha, Lugdoshim Ashebo Ovatsheimo, Viadire Kochesivom, Yilbu Atsvesum Achemohoru, Malasar Niskeim Midom, Uval Esser Shemosum Asafosoi, Adonoi Minos Kalki Vahosi Atotemer Geroli, Havolun Rofuli Maneimim at Nahala Shofo Oloi. Avorech es Adonoi asher yotzoni af leilois yisrinichu yoysoi, shivisi Adonoi lenegdi somid, ki mi mini bal emot. לכן סומך ליבי ויוקו כבודי, אף בסורי ישכון לבטח, שלא סעזוב נפשי לשאול, לסית נחסיתך לרשוחס, תדיעני עיר החיים, סבס מוחס אספונכו, נעימויס בימינכו נצח.
Rav David Weinberger, Shari Tefillah. Mizmor le David Adonai Roi lo yechso Bino yiste sheyar bitzeini Al mei menucho Yisina leini נפשי שויב ינחני במגלי צדק למען שמוי גם כי ילך בגי צלמובס לא ירורו כי אתו ימודי שפתחו משנתכו אימו ינחמוני תערוך לפני שולחו נגד צוירו דישנת בשמן ראשי כוסי רבויו אך טוב וחסד ידפוני כל ימי חיוי ושבתי בביס אדוני לאורך ימים. אשרי איש אשר הולך בעצת ראשו ימי בדרך אתם לא יעמוד ובמויש ולעצם לא יושב כי אם בטרס אדוני חפצו וסרס או יגע ימון ולא הלו והוא יוקאי שעשו הבעל גימויים אשר פיר יאיתם ביתו ועולה לא יבול וכל אשר יעשה יצליח וכן הראשון כי כמוס השתת ואין ורוח הכן לא יקום ראשון במשפט וחתורים בעד הצדיקים כי ידי אדוני דרך צדיקים ודרך שועים טובית.
If I'm not able to mass me in Karlocha, tragedy is great, the grief is endless. A young person, a devoted husband, beloved son, beloved brother, beloved father, beloved chaver, beloved talmid. Young person taken away in the prime of his life, tzaddik and a tamim. Pasuk says, Tov leches al beis ovel, leches al beis hanishta. Vashehu sof kol ha'odom, v'achayitin alibo. So Shlomo HaMelech tells us that it's far better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of partying in Simcha, because this is the end of every human being, and the living shall be very cognizant of this fact. So what Shlomo HaMelech did, what the Torah does, that made the base of Ovel into a place of lumud, of learning and gaining knowledge. Chazal say that a person should always strive to attain an internal level where there is a supremacy of the Yetzer HaTov over the Yetzer Hara. And Chazal give different options, different ways of accomplishing this. And the last and the most potent way is Yizkor Yom HaMisa. The person should reflect upon the day of one's death. Because the day of one's death is a very special day. It's a day when a human being faces the one fact, the most difficult fact for a human being to face, and that is the reality of one's own mortality. Sometimes Yom HaMisor could be a day, 24 hours. But sometimes there is a long Yom HaMisor, a long day in which a person has the opportunity and the realization of his or her own mortality. Neil had a long Yom HaMisa. And the Yom HaMisa is where one can truly tell what a person is. We, his chaverim, his family, had the opportunity to join with him and to learn and to observe him on his, during his Yom HaMisa and how he faced his Yom HaMisa. Chazal say that the qualities of the Navi, when depicting the qualities of the Navi, so Chazal say there are three qualities that a prophet must have. And the three are chacham, wisdom, ashir, wealth, and gibor, strength, courage. Neil had all three. He was a chacham. His fantastic intellect, which we are all well aware of, his brilliant mind, his high intelligence. But it wasn't just high intelligence. It was what he applied his intelligence to, his chachma. And his chachma he applied to an understanding of life, a love for Torah, a love for analysis and discussion with his chaverim. My son told me that one time, one tragic evening, when he had to rush to his house to take him to the hospital. So on the way to the hospital, he was telling him Advar Torah. And then he had to be removed. And as they were taking him out, he said to him, "What was the end of the Advar Torah?" This was the love of Torah that Neil had. Neil used his chokhmah to understand through life. He saw through the sham of the shallow values that most people are attached to and cannot remove themselves from. He never was taken in by the lure and the appeal of the skin-deep external trappings of what people consider success. He had a true and deep understanding of life, the true values of life, and he never lost sight of that. He was an ashir. He was a wealthy man, because Chazal say an ashir is not one who has a lot of money, but one who is a sameach b'chelko, one who is content with his lot. Neil had the most difficult lot a person can imagine. And yet we all know how sameach he was, how he accepted it. I was one time in the house And there was an old friend, a doctor that had come to visit him, and we were sitting around together, and this doctor said to him, "Don't you ask the question, why me?" And Neil said, "No. Why not?" And he really believed that. He didn't have the self-centeredness that most of us have. Most of us can say why not when it's Khalil or someone else. But Neil said that about himself. Because, as Chazal say, he was on the highest madriga of acceptance of ani beryo v'chaveri beryo. We are both creatures and there's no difference. So why not? Why should I be different? This was the level of Kabbalah Sayyisurin that Lil was on. I remember coming into the house in the morning, walking up into his bedroom, and he'd be seated after a lengthy, extensive process of waking up in the morning. Finally, he was seated on a table. With only the right side of his body capable of functioning, he's drinking a cup of coffee, reading the New York Times, and I'd come in and he would discuss different matters, whatever they were, whether it was political, whether it was concerning human psychology, personalities, ideas, Torah, with simcha, with a happiness and a joy that one just could not believe. Every day I was amazed. Every day I felt humbled before my Talmud. He was the true Sameach b'chelko that one cannot imagine. Always besimcha, always happy, looking to be happy, to make others happy. He was a gibor. He was courageous. From his early youth, I remember as a youngster, he had a certain youthful courage. He biked alone all the way up to Montreal. And I remember when I observed that, I was amazed that a young yeshiva student should have the courage to simply go on his own, biking all the way up to Montreal, camping out alone. But this youthful courage developed later in life into a true, mature courage. And I know of instances he told me of in which, because of an ideal, because of what was right, at times he had even placed his life in jeopardy. He was a true gibor, a true man of courage. And because of his courage, he was able to face the Yom Achron, Vatischak Yom Achron. The Ralbag says that Anshe Mala, people who are on a very lofty level, lofty Madrega, have no fear of death because their value of life is a different one. And this Neil had. It was the Yom Achron. And on this Yom Achron, he had unspeakable courage. He faced it with joy and with simcha. Chazal say, "Meis mitoch haschok is siman yofalo." The person dies while they're laughing out of simcha. It's a very good sign. In fact, his last moments were moments of extreme simcha. But that's just a siman, because we don't know the rest of the person's life. But with Neil, we know the rest of his life. We know every day how he faced the Yom Achron, and every day was besimcha. This was the highest form of courage. And because he was such a great person, Chacham, true Oshir, and a Gibor, because of that, he had Chaverim, genuine Chaverim, true Chaverim, friends like no ordinary person has. Reading in the papers of the famous individuals, people who are famous, then years later you read about how they die alone because their fame and their friendship is false, it's illusory, it's mutual exploitation. Only a true person, only a real tzaddik, the Rambam says, can have true chaverim. And that's what Neil had, true chaverim. And this was his joy. He told me once, unbelievably, when we were sitting together in the morning, he said to me, Rebbe, he says, these are the best days of my life. I'm here with my chaverim, and we talk and we discuss, and whatever we do, we analyze, and we're besimcha, and we enjoy life. These are the best days of my life. Those days were very long days. We don't measure days by time segments. We in Yahadus consider Arichas Yomim the quality of life. And those days were very long. And in reality, Neil had a very long life. People live to be 100 and don't live as long as he did. And in those last courageous days, he defeated the greatest adversary of all, the Malach HaMavas, because the Malach HaMavas can only affect his guf, but it couldn't affect his neshama. And he spent that time, the simcha, with his chaverim, discussing ideas, discussing Torah. I would like to extend my personal thanks. I'm sure it's on behalf of the family and the B'nai Yeshiva as well, to Morty Dvinowitz for being helpful in resolving financial matters so that Neil could have those last days to spend with his family, with his wife, with his children, and with his chaverim. He lived through the most difficult yisurim, which he didn't deserve. He was a tzaddik in a tamim. But we know there are other cheshbonos. The Ramban says, dvorim stumim, which we cannot understand in terms of the normal realm of Sarva Onesh, and the only thing we could do is be mekabel them as Ratzon Hashem, like the death of Rabbi Akiva. And this is the way he was mekabel it. He departed from this existence a neshama tahara. There's no need to say Kaddish for Neil for 11 months. There's no need to say Kaddish for one day, because he goes straight into Gan Eden. Neshama Tahora. Say Kaddish for ourselves. Chazal say that Nisas Tzadikin is Mechaper, the death of a tzaddik brings kapara. And the question is why we don't believe in primitive ideas of a scapegoat. But the reason is because our nature, unfortunately, is such that we cannot really appreciate the tzaddik until he departs. And so, Neil, now your tzidkis, your goodness, your great midos, your insight, your chokhma, that you generously shared with us, are eternalized. They're eternalized with us, with all your chaverim, and will be eternalized throughout the doros, through your children, and through others, and through others' children. May your niso be a kapara for your immediate family, your wonderful parents, your yechiel, dear wife, children, siblings, sisters, chaverim, all of us, and all of Klal Yisrael. I want to thank Rabbi Billet for being so helpful. I'd like to introduce Ellen, who would like to say a few words.
Thank you, Rabbi Chait. As always, you've been terrific for Neil during his last days. I publicly want to thank you and your whole community for that. Neil gave thought to his funeral. He told me there should be reggae music, jokes, and laughter. He wanted me to thank you all for making him so happy during this difficult time. He did not want people to be morose. He would say, I'm a happy kind of guy. And that's exactly what he was, a happy kind of guy. Most people go through life not knowing how many people love them, or they never get the opportunity to spend significant time with the people who care about them. The fast pace of day-to-day life and the clutter of things that seem important can wipe out the time that would otherwise be spent with friends and family. But Neil knew, like Rabbi Chait alluded, this past year and a half, he knew that people loved him and cared about him. The people who loved Neil came from all over, enveloping and holding him and making him feel he was truly lucky and truly loved. And he was. Neil touched all who loved him with his love, his wit, his intelligence. He set an example for us with his courage, showing us how to live and die with dignity. Living fully and laughing up until the last minutes of his life. Yesterday, he relished Simone's graduation from nursery school. He was so proud of Jeremy, Simone, and Aliza. Afterwards, we had lunch. He was in the kitchen drinking orange juice and laughing about the mess. Laughing! He was laughing, and then a few minutes later, he was gone. But he lived fully and laughed until those last minutes, all the while knowing how much people loved him. Neil set an example for his children, for his family, and friends in so many things he did. We all know how special he was, and he was so unique, even in his dying. When Neil first got diabetes, he came home from work and he said, Ellen, I have diabetes. I said, well, maybe you should go to the doctor. But he knew even before the doctor diagnosed him. When he had his first seizure, he told the ambulance attendant on the way to the hospital, I have a brain tumor. The ambulance attendant told him maybe he should wait for the doctor's diagnosis. But Neil knew. I just wish he would have been wrong that one time. I hope Jeremy and Simone and Aliza, my children, will remember the love all of you had for Neil. I want them to know how special their father was, and I want you to know how special they are. Jeremy at 7 help me, pick Neil up when he would fall and there was no aid around. I just couldn't do it myself. And Simone and Eliza entertained Neil, dancing, singing for him, and fighting over who would give him pills and water and takes his shoes and socks off at night, etc., etc. All three were there for Neil, making him smile and laugh. And they will someday understand that the outpouring of love from family and friends happened because their father was so wonderful. They can hold that love close to their hearts, just as they hold Neil close to their hearts forever. And they were there for him, and he will always be there for them. A year ago, Neil and I went back to Grenada. He went to medical school there. We both talked about retiring there and just enjoying that kind of life. Can you picture him barefoot, walking on the beach, feeling the sun and the water, hearing the reggae music? This is the one of the many ways I will remember him, and knowing that he had lived his life with love, a happy kind of guy. Thank you all for coming.
I'd like to call upon Rabbi Howard Bull from Miami, cousin and very close scholar of Nifta.
There's a large attendance that's come to pay respect to Neil. However, some people, perhaps in their rush to park, there's a medical building next door, and some cars of doctors have been blocked, they must get out, and they're going to call the police otherwise. So if you're parked there, please make an effort to go out and move your car.
Vayavo Avraham, lispo l'sarah v'lifkosa. And Avraham arrived to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. There is a cry that takes place with shock, the cry of June 18th. And then there's time for a cry that takes place as a result of a description of the individual of Cousin Neil. When I moved to Far Rockaway in the spring summer of 1964, I knew I was moving into a new home, but I didn't realize that I was acquiring an extended family as well as a big brother. During the last month, there's one picture that keeps on occurring to me. In fact, it's a real picture. It's in an album that I showed Neil back in January. It's a picture of Neil and myself and Rhonda and Suzanne all in our swimming clothes. I must be about 5-6 years old. Neil's about 9. And we're standing there, and Neil is wearing these special swimming goggles. What makes the picture unusual is that we're standing in a plastic tub pool in the blonde's backyard with about 9 inches of water. But if you know anything about Neil, you know I received a call that day telling me that we're going to have a great time in an Olympic pool. And he has these unbelievable goggles, which he'll probably let me use for a minute or two. And that's what Neil did for the next 10 years of my life. He made everything exciting. He made everything important. I used to always tag around with him. I remember he went to the end of Elvira, where Ziv Carey lived, and they were playing Catch the Flies Up, and I think they said something like, you know, get rid of your little cousin. And Neil said, no, 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 he's a good hitter. Let him play. He can catch. He can do it all. And I can't tell you the type of feeling that gave me and what kind of an effect all these small incidents that occurred time and time again had on my life. It was Neil and Rhonda who taught me how to ride a bike. It was Neil who schlepped me into the city constantly for stamp shows, for coin shows, schlepped me to Share. They had these stamp get-togethers on Sunday. I couldn't figure it out, but Neil said it was cool. I was there. And then, when I was 13, and due to various personal reasons, and the celebration of my bar mitzvah was postponed, it was postponed to Memorial Day, and Memorial Day was Baha'aloscha, Parshas Baha'aloscha that year. And Neil's bar mitzvah parsha, last week's parsha, Parshas Baha'aloscha, and he came over to me and he said, oh, I hear you're doing Memorial Day. I'll teach you your bar mitzvah. I don't think Rabbi Yasofsky was too happy about that. Neil had a tremendous sense of industriousness, which he certainly received from his father. And he also had a tremendous ability to give a great laugh, which I also know came from Uncle Heshy. Maybe you tell Uncle Heshy and Neil a good joke. It's like a certain really very large smile they get on their face. And you know you hit their mark. And that industriousness he tried his best to convey to me, mowing lawns, working as a light boy at weddings. And I remember one period of time when he decided to get a job with Rabbi Yasofsky to gather up all the Sidurim and all the Chumashim every Motzei Shabbos at the White Shul. Originally we were getting paid, I think, $3 a Motzei Shabbos, and eventually was increased to $5 with Neil's negotiation. But it wasn't just the fact that we worked every Motzei Shabbos. It was the way we went home Motzei Shabbos. You would think we'd walk either down Virginia back to Elvira or down Reed's Lane. No. Neil formed some kind of club. I think it was called Rito or Sprito. I don't even know anymore. And you had to cut through everybody's backyard on the way back. And this is what I did. But I always, in looking back over my life, probably one of the greatest moments was when I was in the 10th grade and I was hanging out with Neil outside the yeshiva in Elvira. And at the time he was attending Rabbi Chait's shiurim. I think Rabbi Chait was doing the Rambam's Maimar Tchias HaMesim. And I was standing outside and Rabbi Chait came walking by and into the yeshiva. And Neil looked at me and he said, hey, come on in. The guy's pretty good. Yeah, you'll like it. It's interesting. He asks and answers questions that nobody else does. And I walked in because Cousin Neil said I should. And he was right. And from that day on, my life certainly changed, and my involvement in Torah, I always felt was very much caused by Neil because of that one moment. And the truth is, during the next years when I was in yeshiva, and sometimes he would come in during the day, and he'd just walk into shir, he had such an unbelievable mind. And, you know, his name was Chaim, and I always thought, I didn't know if Rabbi Chait knew that, but he used to say he has a mind like Rabbi Chaim. He had an unbelievably intuitive type of head. And he can get down to the kernel of a problem so quickly that people who are sitting and learning for days were just simply struggling and hovering around the area, did not know how to get to that kernel. During those teenage years, as much as I felt Neil gave me that greatest gift, I felt that, now looking back, that at the same time, I think I gave him back his greatest gift. Well, certainly one of them. Because when I came back one summer, I had met a certain friend, and I told Neil, I said, I met this guy, he's a really funny guy, you'll really like him. He's like, he's like us. And I told him who it was, and I'll never forget the words. He said, that skinny dude on Reed's Lane? I said, yeah, his name's Jeff Klar. And the truth is, they had an unbelievable friendship that extended for nearly about 25, 26 years. And I think everybody here knows what Jeff and Michelle have done during the past year and 8 months during this long Yom HaMisa. Neil also had a tremendous love of family. It's a love of family that I think especially comes from Aunt Ruthie and from our family. Neil used to always, in a nice way, used to get upset at me when I wouldn't go to family functions and simchos. He knew that it was difficult. I was at a distance. But he had a tremendous loyalty and love to his entire family, and especially to his immediate family. The joy that he got, that joy that he received from the accomplishments of his sisters, their love, Rhonda and Suzanne, little Malky, it meant the world to him. It certainly spilled over to my own family. He always just told me how happy he was that I married Sherry. It meant very much to him. During the past year and 8 months, it became how apparent he loved and needed the love of his own immediate family. How much it meant to him when they made a party for Ellen just this past week, and Mrs. Chait made that party. I think it meant a lot more to Neil that they were making a party for Ellen than it meant even to Ellen. And he was so concerned about Jeremy that he should grow up in a framework and a life of Torah, that the friend should stay involved, that he should go to the right institutions to learn. It's all very surreal to stand here today. You don't expect to bury your cousin at 40, who was 42 years old. But I think Jeff said it well last night when he said that during this past year and 8 months, Neil really brought the guys together in a way that we haven't gotten together in 25 years. All the vicissitudes and all the different involvements in life that cause people to not be able to have quality time with one another. Neil and his illness were able to overcome.
I'd like to call upon Neil's sister, Rhonda, to say a few words.
I want to speak very briefly about Neil. However, when I reflect on Neil's life, it's hard to be brief. Neil did more in his short life than most of us will ever do. He traveled around the world. He biked to Canada and other distant places. He ran several New York City marathons, and he formed his own publishing company, just to name a few. He had the guts to live his life in a way that most of us would only dream of. I remember a picture he showed me of one of his bike trips. He was on the side of an interstate highway somewhere in Connecticut as he was bike riding to Canada. His bike was standing next to him. He was wearing his tefillin and holding a sitter and davening shacharit. Despite his adventurous way of living, Neil knew what mattered most in life. His family, Ellen, the kids, interested in material objects or fancy things. He was interested in people. From the time we were little, I knew that Neil was different. He became friendly with people that most of us never even noticed. When we were little and we walked into Far Rockaway Town, everyone knew Neil by name. I remember that all the mailmen in the Far Rockaway post office, where he would go to buy stamps for his stamp collection, all knew him by name. Neil became everyone's friend. It didn't matter if you were the orderly in the hospital or the brain surgeon. Neil would treat you the same. And he really was interested in you and wanted to know all about you. Neil loved people. This was evident over the last year as hundreds of people came to visit Neil from all over the country. The outpouring of love and support was a sort of source of great comfort to Neil and the family. But what amazed me the most was how people told me they had a good time after visiting Neil. No matter how sick Neil was, his goal was to make you laugh. Neil had a nickname for everyone. There was Benny and the Jets, the Crabs, Daniel II, the Pope, Mukala, and Cousin Henoch. You were Cousin Henoch when the rest of the world was still calling you Howie. Neil coined Cousin Henoch, the way we know you today. And there was something about the way he used that pet name that made you feel that you were the most important person in his life. Neil was the smartest person I ever knew. He was the most interesting and worldly person I ever knew. I could go on and on about Neil, but it's just too hard to talk about. Neil meant so much to so many of us sitting here today. Neil, you were a great big brother, and you will be missed terribly. We love you.
I'd like to ask Rabbi Michael Bernstein, a very dear chaver, to come up, please, and say a few words.
Chazal say that the Agra Vehespeda, the Hespeda Deluya, the merit of a Hesped is tears. The merit of a Hesped is tears. I think one meaning of that is that in evoking the virtues of the Nifter, we are elevated by, in his passing, and we provide a swift to him that we should be so ennobled by his memory. Two difficult things were asked of me in my lifetime regarding Neil, and this is one of them, because to adequately recall his virtues in a brief moment of time, if I was Yehuda Levi, or even if I was clever as Neil, I could flood the room with a torrent of tears, because Neil's virtues and great qualities were so many. But I will try to just briefly share with you an outline of so many of his wonderful qualities and specialness that made him someone who all of us who knew him well were ennobled by our having been his friend. Pirkei Avos says that in terms of a mita for which to take from life, there's five opinions given. What is the mita tova? She's bach bo ha'adam. Rabbi Elezer Omer, Ayin Tova, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Chavar Tov, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shochan Tov, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroyas Anolad, Rabbi Elezer Omer, Leib Tov. And then the Gemara continues, Amar Lahem, Royanias, Divrei, Elezer Ben Ozarach, Medivreichem, Shebeklal, Devarev, Divreichem. And by Neil, this was so true. He had all those good midos, and he had a Leib Tov. He had such a generosity of heart, a kindness of heart, selflessness. There were only two aspects of his life where I ever found him to be immodest. He loved his Mensa cup, and when near his patira, it may have been the first time he ever recalled it happening, he said, until recently, there was nothing I ever learned in my life that I forgot. Neil was intently living in the present. And everything he did, he was always so with you. And that's why people felt so close to him, because when you were with him, you were with him. He loved life. He loved people. He was of tremendous modesty and kindness. His humor was legendary. I still remember his great magnum opus, which was never published, titled Lawyer in the Jungle, about his recounting his story of his exploits in Granada, which began, I paraphrase, it's been over a decade since I read it, or parts of it, which I should have been, as I sat on the plane and was about to take off, I should have been thinking about the long, lonely nights in Granada, or the possibility of sickness and so remote. But all I could think about was those 12 kosher steaks sitting under my seat that were going to defrost. He had a great sense of humor and made life happy for so many people. He had another quality that has been touched upon, which was his courage. Neil was an incredibly courageous person. He went to Granada and things changed. They asked him to do malacha on Shabbos. He'd have to take exams, and he left. Another person might say, find a heter or something. He went to another school. The school closed down, and he went on to another career. He was humble. He was prepared to recycle VCR tapes until they went into writing and publishing. But he never once complained in anything that ever happened to him. He never complained. Even in his illness, he never complained. I remember, and how I speak for so many people now, Rabbi Chait had thought that I should bring up to him about the chiyuv to do vidui when a person has a deathly illness. It was only a couple of weeks ago, when he was already having difficulty speaking, that he asked me to tell him this. And I was reluctant, but I trusted Rabbi Chait in his selecting me to speak to him about it. And I told Neil, I said, it's a chesed that I don't want to do for you, but I have to do for you. I told him about the obligation to make vidui. He looked at me with tears in his eyes and some tears in my eyes as well. He pulled me over in his weak way with only his one arm, and he kissed me and he thanked me. And it's ben benoshel kal v'chomer is to all the other people that have given so much more and were so helpful to him that he would want me to be his melech yosher and speak on their behalf and thank them for all the kindnesses, because that was another one of Neil's wonderful midas. He was so grateful. He never felt anything was coming to him. Any kindness was ever done to him, he was so eternally grateful. And Chazal say that, I have to apologize to you, Alan, because Chazal say that the Dima tears are Matsui Eitzel Isha. So I apologize what I'm going to say to you now, but I want you to know how much Neil deeply loved you. I remember one time was a recent simcha when he was still having difficulty. I think it was the simcha. I forgot. I think it was he had such difficulty getting in and out of a chair, and I was going to help him get out, but you were nearby, and he wouldn't let me do it. He wanted you to do it because he said he liked the extra hug. And I saw the smile as he looked at me while you were pulling him up, and he gave me that smile while you were struggling to pull him up. He was so happy just to have that little hug. It was an amazing chesed that Hashem bestowed on Neil, because prior to his demise, even as every bit of his body went away from him, you could still see how much he enjoyed visiting with him, and he had such simcha and enjoyment of people's company. But unfortunately, in the last couple of weeks, he lost his ability to speak, or with great difficulty, it was barely hard to make him out. And this, I felt, was the final ignominy that he couldn't converse. Neil was the greatest raconteur that I've ever met and probably will ever meet. He had such a keen eye for detail. And now, to be able to talk to him, with his mind and his full faculties going for him, he still couldn't respond to you, and you had a struggle to hear him and have him repeat it a few times, and then still yet sometimes say to him, you understood even though you didn't, because you didn't want to hurt his feelings, and he understood because he was so clever and wise. So then, in the last couple of weeks, I was talking to Dr. Pashevkin, his last doctor, and he's told me the natural course of this illness is, for the last couple, 2-3 months, it can be that you have progressive deterioration, hospitalizations, infections, loss of mental functioning. So right then, when he began to lose his speech, Hashem showed a chesed to him that he should go on his Yom Achron laughing. And before he should come into that situation, he took Neil so he should not have to suffer that kind of suffering. For this chesed, we are grateful to you, Hashem, that he should go to Yom Svok. I should say that Neil told me about 5 or 6 days after I told him about the halacha of vidui, is he was struggling to speak, and I had to hear him a couple of times. He said to me, I've been saying vidui every day, and how meaningful it was to him. They tell us that the neshama of a person is still present until, at a minimum, until Stimas Agolel, and that is aware of what's happening. Neil, fortunately I was there. I didn't see your last laugh, and I wasn't there to say goodbye. I now ask Mechila for myself and for others who in any way may have not been as kind and generous to you as you were to them. As I'll say that a tzaddik, when he dies, it's like a hair being pulled from milk. So it's not that the hair is being separated from the milk and that's the neshama being pulled away, but I believe the pshat is the chalav is the white pure soul that the guf is just a tiny impediment to. And for Neil, that's how his tira went, that his pure neshama we shall be reunited with. I close by saying Balam Avas V'netzach U'macha Adonai Elohim Dima Me'al Kol Panim. We await that day, Hashem, when you will swallow up death for eternity. You will erase the tears from all from every face. We will miss you, Neil. Goodbye.
Well, as Jeff Klar, a very dear and devoted friend, to please come up and say a few words.
As you've heard, Leo was a very special friend. During a day that seemed very ordinary into, like, as Howie said, very exciting. If I did it myself, I would have said I had a terrible day. terrible day. If I did it with Neil, it was a great day. It didn't matter what it was. When Neil and I would spend tons of time on the road, going to Florida for winter vacation. I remember one night after Rhonda's wedding. It was must have been 2:30 in the morning. I had my beat-up green Chevrolet, and Neil and I were going to go skiing. His mother begged us, go tomorrow morning. Neil didn't get any sleep. He said, "Ma, I'll be okay. Let me go." And off we went. Every 10 minutes we had to fill up that car with oil. No gas, but just oil. We just kept going. And we found out, of course we went in the middle of the night, we just kept driving around the mountain. We never figured out how to get up. We were just driving around. And we had the greatest time. I mean, it was just incidents like that with Neil that anybody here should deserve such a friend who could turn even his illness into party time. I mean, I'd go over there, and it was like he was besimcha, really enjoying life. He was courageous. He gave me inspiration. People would ask me, "How do you go there to visit? And isn't it depressing?" I'd say, "Do you know Neil? You know what? There were a couple of days where he was down. But you know what? That was my job, to get him up. Or anybody else who came got him up. And it wasn't too often that he was down. And if I was down, I'd come there, and before I knew it, I'd be up. I mean, I don't know how we did it. Every day. It was great. And I will miss him dearly. He loved his family, his wife Ellen, his children, his parents and his sisters, and friends. You never heard somebody... I mean, he was so thankful to everybody that, I mean, this community all banded together and did unbelievable things for Neil, and he truly, truly was very grateful. There is no way I can impart his gratefulness to every individual person, but as a kahal, I was proud, and Neil really appreciated everything. Pirkei Avot tells you, Knei Lecha Chaver. Now, it doesn't really mean you got to go out and buy somebody. But if that's what it took for me to get a friend like Neil, I would have done it. He just had all the qualities a person would want in a friendship. He was bright. He was funny. He was adventurous. I mean, he asked my wife, "I'm a pretty lazy guy, but Neil could get me up to do anything he wanted. Anything he wanted, just like how he said. Because you knew it was going to be a fun day." And I will always be eternally grateful to him for all the things he has shown me and for allowing me to be his friend and for setting such an example for myself, my wife, his wife, anybody who got to know him. But I want to really tell his children, "Jeremy, your father constantly talked about you. You, Simone, and Aliza, all he talked about is that
He loved life so much, but he said the real underlying reason for everything is my children. And that is what I will truly miss. So, thank you, Neil, for being there for me.
Okay, I'm going to conclude the service with a few remarks. The burial is going to take place at the Wellwood Cemetery in Farmingdale. The Shiva is going to be observed at the Blonde Residence in Woodmere on Arbuckle Avenue. What's the exact address? 793 Arbuckle. There'll be daily minyanim. On Sunday, the chakras will be at 8:30. And the rest of the week, through Thursday morning, the Shiva is going to be observed. Chakras will be at 7 a.m. And Mincha Maariv will be every night at 8:20. After Chazan Erlich says the Kelmalei Rachamim, we'll ask members of the family, his friends, to help remove the Aron, the Bnei Yeshiva, to help remove the Aron. We'll walk a little bit behind the Aron in the yard of the funeral home, and then we'll try to make our way as quickly as possible to the cemetery, because we have a time by which we have to be there. We must be there by 11:30. You heard this morning many words of Hesped about Neil. Of course, many of the words are a response to the loss of a young person, to the loss of a child, of a son, of a husband, of a father, of a brother, of a friend. David HaMelech cried in pain, Al Musa Bain, for the death of a child and for the loss of dear friends. The death also teaches its own lessons. Rabbi Chait quoted the pasuk before, Tov Leleches Lebeis Avel, Milaleches Lebeis Amishte. And Tov already, it's better, it's good to go to the house of mourning rather than to go to a party. Already is a reflection of perspective. It's a point of view. There's thinking, there's thought that's involved. Thought, of course, always requires questions. Some of the questions we'll never know the answers for, such as the question why. There is no answer to that question. It's a question we all ask. So the Rav taught us that we should change the question. And instead of asking why, which is non-productive, we should ask, what should we do now? What do we learn? If you will, Rabbi Chait said Neil's question was why not. Let's look at why not from a slightly different perspective. One thing I learned from the Rav was the statement, Hamakom Yenachem Eschem B'Toch Sha'ar Avei Leitzion V'Yerushalayim, may the Lord comfort you amongst all mourners of Zion and Jerusalem, is something you have to say when you go to the Beis HaAvel, when you go to make a Shiva call. Even if you say nothing at all, and you are not supposed to say anything unless the Avel invites you to join the conversation or to participate, but you have to say, Amakom Yenachem Eschem B'Toch Sha'ar Avei Leitzion V'Yerushalayim. It's a formula. At first glance, perhaps a rather trite statement. But the Rav says it's a statement of reality. Unfortunately, until the fulfillment of Bila HaMavis LeNetzach, death is a part of life. And the reality is that everyone, at a certain point in time, L'Eis Mitzo, has to confront it. The question is, when we confront it, how do we deal with it? And the statement is, HaMakom Yenachem Esachem. You must find a way to be comforted. You must find a way to go on with life. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a wife, whether you're a parent, whether you're a child, whether you're a sister, a brother-in-law, a parent-in-law. It doesn't matter. You have to go on with life, and you have to find a way. HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. That's the reality. And that's a decision you have to make. A second thought is the statement about that Chazal say, Tzoros Rabim Chatzi Nechama. What does it mean, Tzoros Rabim Chatzi Nechama? The pain of other people, of many people, is half a comfort for me. It somehow removes my pain. It alleviates it. Makes me feel good that someone else had a tzara similar to mine. I think Tzoros Rabim Chatzi Nechama, and this is the great lesson I learned from so many people in Israel I know who lost young members of their family way before the time that they should go. When you see people walking in the world and you discover that they had a tzara similar to, worse than, not as bad as, but for them, as significant a tzara as any tzara I could face. And you see them walking in the world, and you see them living their life and functioning and being responsible as parents, as brothers, as sisters, as children, as friends, and they're doing it. The lesson, the Chatzi Nechama, is if they could do it, I could do it too. Not that their tzar mitigates mine, but rather their response to their tzar inspires me to know that I have to do the right thing. And it's an important lesson. It's an important lesson to the entire family, especially. To Ellen, to Jeremy, to Simone and Aliza, to Harold and Ruth Blonde, to Rhonda and to Brian, to Suzanne and to Paul, to Malka and to Chanoch, to the Kramer family. It's a very important lesson. It's a hard lesson, but it's reality. There are other people out there who have experienced tragedy, and they've responded in a certain kind of way. And that response is a tribute to the Nifter as well. God should give you the strength to respond appropriately. Ellen, you're going to need a tremendous amount of support. You have a great family. You have wonderful parents. You have wonderful in-laws. You have loving siblings. Everyone cared deeply about Neil, and everyone cares deeply about you and your children. And everyone should be included and be given the opportunity to share some of the burden with you and to take some of the responsibility and to participate in the life that you, God willing, will live together with your children. It's a big job to raise three children, but there are so many people, grandparents and aunts and uncles, who love those children, and God willing, they'll give you the support. You've been a heroic wife. You've borne the burden with great dignity, and now you have to take the next step and move forward in life with the same courage and resolve that you've demonstrated to now. The family has asked me, and it's already really been said, to express tremendous hakaras hatov, of course, to Rabbi Chait and the yeshiva, and to Jeff and Michelle, and to the entire community in Woodmere and in the five towns in general and wherever, who have reached out and have been so generous in giving support. This is a time when, from one perspective, of course, there's great sorrow and great emotion and bechi, but this is also a time where we need great wisdom. Kadosh Baruch Hu should grant the family the strength to deal with the tzar and the intelligence to be wise. As was said, Neil was very wise, and perhaps we should all try to live up to his name. Chaim Nosan Nota. Chaim Nosan, he gave life to his members of his family, and Nota, he also planted seeds for the future. Be'ezras Hashem, with the help of everyone and the Ribono Shel Olam, the family will find at the right time an appropriate nechama and will move forward. And that response to this tragedy will be the greatest tribute of all to Neil, who was an outstanding man in Israel. Tehei nishmaso tzerura b'tzeror ha'chayim.
El mole rachamim shochehem bamromim hametzei menucho nechono tachas kanefei hashechino v'mahalos kedoshim uteorim כזוהר הוקיע מזהירים אסני ישמאס רב חיים נוסנוטו בנפתולי צבי שהלך ליולמו בעבור שאשתו הורוב כל משפחתו וכל ידידיו נודים צדוקו ביד הזיכורס נשמצו בגן עדן תהי מנוחסו לכן בעל הרחמים יסתירהו בסיס כנופיו לעולמים ויצרור בצרור החיים אס נשמסו אדוני ונחלסו וינוח בשלום על משכבו ונאמר אמן.
Mm-hmm.